More the ride.
You're listening to Para X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Coming to you live from planet Earth's real Gotham City. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particle spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, baby. Each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we all vibrate the same frequency.It's a 90% illuminated gibbous Aries moon out there, and we have a great show for you again lined up. I've been scouring the planet for the absolute best guests on Earth and in all of hyperspace, and tonight our guest is none other than Laura Leone. She is very much like me, actually. She's a mystic, a seer. You know, she...is a forensic anomalous profiler, a spirit seer, a holographic kinetics practitioner, you know, a quantum energy shifter. And this all might sound like new age mumbo jumbo words to some people, but let me tell you, there is nothing new age about what she practices. This was first mastered by the original race on this planet, the Aboriginals. It's Dreamtime Healing. That's what it's called. Holographic kinetics is just Dreamtime Healing, where theywere able to manifest in physical reality stuff that they balanced in their dreams. And it's amazing practice, and she's going to bring us to light on that and many other topics. And before I hand it over and introduce Laura, I want to also let you know about the websites. You can find me at themysticalspiral.com. I also have a new YouTube discussion called Exploring the Ka with your host, Ra Castaldo.And you can find my guest, Laura Leone, at her new website, which will be up in a day or two because the other one is being worked on. It's sovereignkey.com. That's SOVEREIGNKI.com. And I'll post that up on the website and in the chat room right now in a few minutes. Laura, welcome to Spiral Radio.
It's an honor to be here, Ra. I am really excited.
Now, you know, an hour, I always say how, you know, each week how an hour goes by so fast, you know, so I like to, you know, just jump right into it. And I know you're the double Gemini, so you could go both ways.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you got that, you know, that double energy in you. You could have the, you know, you can handle anything, you know, two ways, you know, ambiguous.
Yeah, Yeah. The only thing is time. Let me tell you, 1 hour is, it's going to fly. So
yeah, it does.
Let's get to it.
Yeah, so like when you maybe, you know, I feel for sure that you're a starseed. You know, I know I'm, you know, we have much in common, and I can have an interesting look into some people, and I can feel that you're a starseed. And, you know, for people that don't know what like a star child is, you know, even the Native Americans had lore of the star children, you know, and sometimes the star child would be born with recollection of almost their purpose, that they were, you know, predestined for this. And sometimes the star children would even disappear from the Native American tribe. Like at around 7 years old, they would be left looking at the sky, the Native Americans, wondering who just took their child. And, you know, they knew it was some kind of wisdom. Is this something that you experienced, something like almost like you had recall of your predestiny on Earth?
Absolutely. It's actually, for a long time, I couldn't really come up with this because I really didn't think that a lot of people would even believe most of my story. But the way that I began was memory, having absolute memory before I was born. I remember the event of how the birthing happens for our souls. And I remember traveling with these beings that basically guard you while you're traversing into your body. So I recall seeing and traveling through space with them, and the Earth was getting closer and closer and closer, and I could see the top of the building where I was. The mother, or the woman who was to be my mother, was birthing me. There was a whole event that happened with that, because I was also shown other things prior to being born, which involved a lot of information about all of what we are all coming into in Gnosis now. So yeah, I have absolute memory of that. And as a baby being trapped in the body, I was very frustrated because I had my consciousness. And I had a body I couldn't move, and I couldn't control it. So I was absolutely conscious. And
that's very rare. That's very rare to get birth recall. It had to have been for a reason. You know, it had to have been for a reason that they gave you birth. Because I think sometimes, you know, I think that memory gets suppressed deep because that's a traumatic experience. That's the first experience, and it's traumatic. I mean,
it's very traumatic. But, you know, there's an allowance that happens because I was told specifically that it was allotted that I remember. So, and that was a very specific part of the information I was given. And it had to do with everything that is...
I mean, how intense is your memory of it? Do you remember smells?
Rob, my God, I remember everything.
Wow, Laura.
And I was trapped in the body, and I remember day in and day out screaming because my consciousness is as it is right now. Only I couldn't speak, and I couldn't control my body, and it was basically like I felt like I was trapped as a blob. But I was very sensitive to energy to such a high degree. But there was a lot of oddities that were happening with this all. But yeah, the memory was absolute, and the knowing, the absolute knowing that I did come for something was there from the get-go. As it
and with those people that just joined the chat room now, we're with Laura Leone, and I will post her website because there's a few people that just joined. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say that I think that more and more people are coming into those memories. I find it interesting how when I, prior to being born, was told that it was allotted to me that I was allowed to remember. So there is an event that occurs in birth and being birthed through these fields, these energetic technology fields, that, you know, it's like a mind swipe for the majority of the planet. But somehow something was done to prevent that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's, like I said, very rare. And it's almost like the beings that were transporting you. Now, I would love to ask you a question about that real quick. You know,
sure.
Do you remember what they? That was it. Almost like you sense them in a way, or was it full, like you saw apparitions or you saw the entities?
No, I just saw them. It was physical.
Were they like beings of light?
They were really large, really, really large. Their skin was a copperish, it was very coppery. And there was a lot of light coming from them, but they were very high beings, very strong features. You couldn't really tell if it was male or masculine. Like, it looked like a perfected version of a male, but it was just not, you know, it could be also some female aspects to it. Very, very copper, very...
Maybe golden streaks in their hair, almost?
No, their hair was... Well, I mean, their hair was more like a white, like a silver.
So they were definitely humanoid shaped.
Yeah, they were humanoid. They were large. If anything, I could say that in the mind's eye, they were like the perfect version of a very advanced human that I suppose some people would think that they would look like angelics. Serious, though. They were very, very serious, very much business. Like, they have a job to do, and, you know, they don't joke around or anything like that. They were actually really pissed off at me because I was stalling. Because I was freaking out a little because of what I was being shown, and I was, you know, needed a few minutes to think about, you know, all of it. But there was no time, and they said, no, the body's already birthed. And I was still up there, up or down.
So
there.
That you were getting transported into the into the body, just being, but wow.
Yeah.
So I feel you have like a Lyran, like from Lyra, that your descent to as well, one of your past life.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. I would have to agree.
Yeah, so. I feel it because you might have even like been connected to Mu, like the lost continent Mu.
You got it again. Yeah, bang on.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a lot of work with regards to relocating relics. Relocating living stones, relocating really powerful, and I call them living stones because they're more powerful than the idea of a crystal. They're actually a living essence, and there's a lot of memory and connection with doing that. Yeah, so no, you got it. You're very
successful. I mean, over time, it's almost like, especially when I'm really interested in somebody, it's like a magnetism towards them. You know, I feel it like
it's like a mirror essence, right? Because in origin, that's where it all begins, right? That's reintegrating that.
Yeah, you're very electric. I feel like an electricness about you, you know, and. When you were, since you have like recall of being a child as well, do you recall communicating with, you know, maybe spirits or shadow?
All the time. I find it interesting because I just thought everybody did, you know, because I was constantly being visited and there was always communication. I could always see spirits. I could see shadow people. The dead would come to me as a kid, too, and that was hard to deal with. But I took it as a given that everybody could do this, that this was reality here. But finding and discovering that nobody knew what I was talking about was alarming, especially realizing that they were so disconnected from the real reality and essence of the 3D, because there's so much superimposed surreality here. That it was really difficult for me to process that. It was also difficult because I could always read people's energy and see them and see their spirits. Yeah. I could see what was going on.
Instantly knew their intentions, their creepiness.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Were you all alone basically with it, or was there other people in your family that knew what was going on with you and had these abilities as well?
No, I come from a lineage of people with abilities, and I actually come from a lineage of people who have a lot of knowledge with regards to all of this. Strangely, my dad, who I love, he's deceased. He was my best friend. he was a 33rd degree Mason. He was very much, but he was a real humanitarian. And interesting how, you know, he ended up becoming one, because that is a story within itself, and often they hunt you down, right? And they want you to become it.
Because so he was already in tune with metaphysics, you know, being
Exactly, yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I think they were interested in him. But it's all lineage-based too, right? My mom was super into esoteric stuff. My whole family experienced paranormal, supernatural activity constantly. But the thing is that they didn't want to deal with it in the same way that I did. And I was sort of, I was a lot of it was surrounding me. And they were witnessing a lot of it, even though they themselves had abductions. They themselves, I mean, there was these incredible electrical conscious light, balls coming through the walls following us.
Wow, you're very psychic, because I was just thinking of something to ask you about the electricity.
Yeah, you are very psychic. So
is this the third time you did it to me? You did it to me when we were talking pre-show, twice. I was going to say drunk. We were talking about something. I was going to say like a drunken sailor, and you said it before I can. You've been doing it all night.
Yeah, I think it's a flow, right? Because I think you're doing the same too. But yeah, there were these incredible electric balls that would just come through the walls, whatever, they would follow us. They were about the size of a, sometimes they were as big as a basketball, sometimes they were the size of a melon or like a cantaloupe. But my family suppressed or tried to normalize the paranormal.
They kept their paranormal to secrecy. That's how it is. It's really not discussed, but it's a knowing.
Yeah, and there was always, my mother was a real mystery within herself, and she was very powerful. She's a very powerful psychic. And in ways it was very out there, but I was very alone with the level of experiences I was having, because it seemed that I was having the real maximized experiences. There was a lot of proof around the things that I was experiencing, and a lot of things that they were just simply undeniable. So
did you start to find comfort in like science fiction books or science fiction TV
because that's more real, that is more true. So I didn't want television. I didn't want newspapers. Wow. I didn't want anything to do with what, quote, the media world was. I would always say sci-fi fantasy, that's much more akin to what's really going on. I was just, devouring as much as I could, that because it was the world that I knew, right? This was the real world.
It made you feel not alone. Yeah, right. It made you feel not alone. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, I want to share something with you that we were talking about the electricity that I don't like to really bring up too much, but I sense that you might understand what I'm talking about, and you might have had a similar experience. When I was real little, I used to, we called them, they were imaginary friends, but they weren't imaginary friends. They were these shadow dark figures that would come out of the electricity, and I would talk to them, and they were really friends with mine. Like, I would play G.I. Joes with them, and they were like good buddies of mine. And my mom thought I just had an imaginary friend. But then one day they told me, if you want to be with us forever, bite these electrical cables. And I was little, and they were like, you could come with us. You could come play with us. Just bite these cables. And I ran to my mom and I told her, and she flipped out. She was like, no, you know, don't ever, you know, and don't ever talk about them again. You know, and she flipped out. And I think they were some kind of shadow, but I remember them being children, but dark, like you couldn't see their, couldn't see anything but darkness.
Yeah.
You know, it was just black.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say that, and you had that experience, because I believe that they are not really children. I think that that's
disguise. And I talked to this lady, Amy Allen. You ever see the Dead Files? There's this lady, Amy Allen. I'm going to have her on a future show. She almost went through the same exact thing.
Oh, okay, yeah, because I was going to say, I've had experiences, I'm so glad you didn't bite the electricity. I just have to say that because, because I actually did put my fingers in sockets.
Oh, my God. Talked into it, like coerced into it?
When I was 8. Well, it had more to do, I knew that they weren't the shadow ones, I knew that, and this was my perception of it, but I knew that they were really coming from an underworld, from kind of like the anti-reverse electricity, if that makes any sense. And, you know, they didn't have eyes. It was like their that area was like just all dark. It was really weird. But the reason why I did it was because at the age of 8, I knew that I was that I had implants. So I knew that they needed to somehow I had to get rid of them. I just knew it. I absolutely knew it. I had there was some proof with regards to the stuff that was happening when I would wake up and like the marks in my body. I could feel some of them turning on and off. I could feel. So I knew it was. And at the age of 8, I mean, I wasn't really like a normal kid, so I was able to see.
To even be aware of something like that and think about something like that at that age is remarkable and frightening.
Well, and there's something
to have to worry about something like that at such a young age is
but
ridiculous.
When you think about it, coming in with consciousness, I wasn't really that age. That was just
you're right.
I needed a body to be here, but I was really never that age. But what happened was when I did that, which, you know, was really terrible, and I don't advise anyone to do that. Although, I think I did fry them all out at that time, but they just keep reimplanting you. But when I did that...
That's gangster, though. That's straight gangster.
Pretty awful. I kind of felt like my organs were, you know, cooked for a while there. It was just taking a bit. I think I have, like, the meta gene, so I was able to heal quickly because there's no way a normal human would have been able to do that because I actually electrocuted myself for real. And but when, in doing that, there's a lot of memory I have about the artificial intelligence, a lot of information I was given with regards to that all and how... there's a living essence that, and it's like an organic technology that lives in electricity. So when I had that experience, I could really feel a different aspect of it by having it.
Wow.
And it was,
almost
when you
like
say,
Tesla.
Well, and when you say that you had the experience that you had, it just makes me remember clearly that, because after that happened, that's when the electrical balls were coming in and following my family. And it used to scare the hell. It used to scare my dad so bad, and my mom. They would all freeze. I would chase them around the house, but then they I know, right? Because I'm like, at that point, I was so used to so much paranormal that I was like, okay, I got to find out what you are. I know you're some kind of, you know, technology, but you're real too. You have a consciousness, and you're investigating us. And so, who are you? And who sent you? And where did you come from? So. I would chase them, and then these electrical balls would run around trying to run away from me and eventually blow up because they didn't, you know. I think it's just, but I do recall that I think my feeling about what those shadow beings are is very bad.
Yeah,
And I think you were really highly protected, so I'm really, you know, I'm glad that.
Yeah,
you
no, I have ancestral
pulling.
Lineage. Like, yeah, I have ancestors. They form like Voltron, like lions that form like a big, yeah.
But you know, they had to come as children to you, right? Because you're too perceptive, so it had to be something that you could relate to, because you can see through stuff. And I think a lot of us, when we were children, because we were functioning on way more than 5 senses, we were often alone and. In, you know, us having experiences with all these beings and entities, of course, it's like we're like a beacon in the universes. They see us from, you know, universes away, and they come in. They come in, and they want us to get connected to them. So they're going to do and put on whatever disguise necessary for them to be able to harness us, essentially, right? And I find it really, really interesting that they were trying to get you to bite the cable.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I never really talk about it too much, but I felt like I wanted to tell you.
So death by electricity would mean that they would have, that would be a way for them to get in you, see, fuse with you at the same time.
They were telling me, you know, because they were playing, I remember, like, I would rush home from school that for like a couple months straight, I would rush home from school and I couldn't wait to play my G.I. Joes with them. They were like being so nice to me. And then finally they were like, you could come with me all the time. We could play like this forever. Just bite these.
Wow.
And like, you know, and I think, you know, I don't know if they were, but I feel like, because it wasn't like I was opening my third eye and opening my consciousness that I was aware of to people, but I feel like that when we're certain people, when we're not grounded in life or we're not knowing what we're doing, and if our consciousness is opened up like that, our pineal gland opens up and we open up to hyperspace and the other dimensions, that sometimes these lower astral entities can cling to us in a way.
Absolutely.
And they might even stay with us for lifetimes, and you know, infect our everything, you know, make us self-loathing, lethargic. I mean, is this something that you've encountered?
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Wow, there's so much there with that. I've totally, absolutely encountered that, because I think it's almost virtually impossible to not encounter them when you're in these realms, including this one, because this realm is attached to all of the lower astral realms and even like the quote, you know, the heavens, so to speak, because that's still connected to these universes that are like 12 angled pyramids stuck to each other side by side. When you're open, or when you are depressed and, you know, you've got your abilities, whether they're suppressed or not, it is a type of open invitation, even if it's through omission and not knowing and ignorance. It is an invitation. So if you're open enough, these are the things that are going to come in. And I don't know anyone who hasn't experienced them, although I do believe that many of them have the capacity to disguise themselves utilizing false light, to the point where it makes it very difficult for people to discern what's what, so they start believing that they've actually had encounters with these higher beings. But
yeah,
as long as they're tricksters, and as long as they're connected to these particular lower astral realms, which I believe are the majority of everything that Earth is connected to because of the hijacking, I think that many of these forces are lower astral related, because the ones that are higher, they have laws of sovereignty in effect, and they don't want to skew our own path, our own journey, and our own evolution, and they're very, very sensitive to that. So they typically won't just come in and entice you or seduce you like these other, you know, beings that do, and entities and forces. And there's so many things happening in the hyperdimensional realities and realms that it is just teeming. The wars are teeming. Everything is teeming. The energies. People would really want to simplify it and say, okay, well, it's this, you know, these guys against these guys, or that faction against. It's so much more complicated than that, and it's so many more factions, because each one has a different level, a different substance of its own creation, which, you know, they have gifts and abilities in accordance to whatever density they come from. They have different technology. It's all unique, but many of them are lower realms.
Yeah, so, I agree too. And like, you know, I feel like that these lower astral entities, even in Kabbalah, they talk of it that like a lot of these lower astral entities, they can't see the higher realms. So when they take us, you know, and cling on us so they can experience, you know, our world, and almost like a hungry ghost kind of being, they latch on, and they're feeding off of our, you know, everything, you know, our emotions, our everything, you know, and they're clinging to us. And sometimes for lifetimes, they're staying with us. I mean, we got absolutely 1 minute till break too. So I just want to let everybody know that we're with Laura Leone, and she's at sovereignkei.com. It's SOVEREIGNKI.com. And the site will be back up in like a day or two, right, Laura?
Yep. It should be running.
Should be running now?
It's up. No, it should be running in about a day. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So, and like always, I'm at themysticalspiral.com. And like I mentioned before, I got a new YouTube discussion called Exploring the Ka with your host, Ra. And it's a beautiful moon out there tonight, everybody. I hope everybody is kicking back and letting the, you know, paranormal discussions, let all the troubles of the day just drift away. We're going to be back with another half hour. in a few seconds after you enjoy this beautiful piece of music. The name of the song is called Jail Card. Spiral out.
I'm gonna get stuck.
For everything paranormal, Para X.
And we're back. My name is Ra, and we're with Laura Leone, the wonderful, amazing, beautiful Laura Leone. And you can find her at SOVEREIGNKI.com. And yes, in the chat room, it is a new website. It's not the old one like they're asking. And we will take questions for Laura. And you can ask me, and I will relay them to her, and we'll try to save them for the last few minutes of the show. Or if it has to do with what we're talking about right now, we'll just ask away now. So you can put the questions up. Yep. So I'm asking your questions. And we're back with Laura. And Laura, you know, you were saying that it sparked the memory of you in between breaks. I don't know if you wanted to talk about that you were watching Souls. You know, but yeah. I really wanted to get into the dream healing, too, because the half hour is going to go so quick.
I know. Yeah, what you were saying was...
We could do this again, though, too. We can have you back on, you know, for sure.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to be real quick about the memory, because you were talking about how these entities attach to people and essentially vicariously live a life physically through us. because they don't have a body. But what happened when I was a child, I actually physically saw this happening. And the first time I saw it, I was 5. And I actually saw the entities and what they look like. I saw how they attach to people. I saw the condition around them, the darkness. And I saw the people that were beaming like flashlights. So those that have a lot of source and are utilizing it, they're, aka those that, you know, are trying to live a path without corruption and are pure source beings. These people had a brilliant light coming off of them, and I saw the entities literally wanted, they were like salivating to get close to that. But they they were trying, and there was something occurring that they couldn't handle. Like it felt like torture to them, even though they were literally I saw them salivating. And they were like going crazy for that source. They wanted that energy so bad that that's really what they wanted. The people that they were infecting, they didn't have as much of that, so they had to do more things to them in order to procure energy from them. But that what they really want is pure source beings. It was pretty rad, actually, but not in a good way.
I think that once they do cling on that being, then it's like in their cellular memory. It gets downloaded in their DNA. It gets imprinted on their trauma for like past next lives. And it's intense. That's a snowball of darkness.
Well, exactly, and it all of this. Even the lineages and what we're born into and what we choose and, you know, the whole of it gets us into the dream time, right? The dream within the dream within the dream because...
Yeah, and I don't think people realize, too, like, you know, we don't just inherit, like, our dad's nose. We inherit drama and accomplishments, everything from our past, you know, and that goes right into the dream time healing and what they call, now they call it holographic kinetics. But if I understand correctly, I know you'll get us more deep into it when we talk about it now, but like the Aboriginal people were the original race on Earth, and they were the ones that came up with this dreamtime healing. And basically, the Aboriginal word just is the alpha, beta, original. Aboriginal. Alpha, beta, original. Alpha,
exactly.
You
know? it's right there in the word.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the alpha and the beta is kind of what they're doing. Like the alpha, the beta is the external world, the ego, the conscious mind, and the alpha is, you know, when we're sleeping and we're you know, going through the internal. Is that right?
Well, the Dreamtime healing, it's very interesting. The Aboriginals knew, and they had memory and consciousness, that there was very little distinction between the dream realities and this reality, that, you know, the one, they all exist together at the same time, aka there's no such thing as time. And you can walk from one dream to the next. You had to be birthed through the stargate of a woman, and that was what was necessary, and that was also like the serpent rainbow was the birth process between these realms, between stepping through dream time. So they knew that alchemically, metaphysically, the quantum realities were where all of the changes occurred. So what you think is already occurring on a quantum level in that reality and space within timelessness. So they knew that you could step into that and manifest that down into this dream body. That dream body was synonymous with this dream body, just the way that the universe is synonymous with all the bodies within themselves. It's like a mirror image of itself. So you could just flow in between them. Therefore, you could change time and space, understanding the fabric of reality being in dream.
Wow, so like balancing your dreams makes you able to manifest and mold and like create a reality in the physical dimension.
In the physical, because this is also this is where the dream within the dream manifests in this form of a dream. So
that's amazing.
It's such a powerful understanding and comprehension of an energy universe. because it is consciousness. It is flowing consciousness. And the serpent, the rainbow serpent, is the wave of energy. And the wave of energy has, there are no walls. That you could step within dreams because they're all the same body. Your understanding of it in this realm, knowing that you can change this realm. It's just the same as your intention quantumly. If you want to collapse an event in your life that was very traumatic and you want to rewrite it, you need to change the cells of existence of that reality. So you need to collapse the reality in that dream time for it to manifest physically in the 3D.
That's amazing. So like, basically, like when our eyes are open, when we're awake, the frequency of our brain is the conscious mind. That's the beta frequency, the external world. And then when our eyes are closed, we achieve and we activate the main side, like the alpha frequency or the internal world or the spirit life force world. And you know
where the reality lives. That's where the reality lives. Yeah.
That's the real, the alpha frequency. You know, that's amazing.
And the aboriginals were able to be lucid in 3D, awake, more lucid in that state, just as in their dream healing state. So they were able to do that. And that's essentially what humans are aspiring to. I mean, if you want to simplify it, you can say that would be essentially the unlocking of your DNA.
So, yeah, and you get like a download of all your ancestral memory, like, because our cells are memory, you know, they have
Absolutely.
Memory of everything, every thought, every memory, every thought we ever had,
everything.
Know, and it's like the ability to holographic reproduce memories is that's, you know, and kinetic is what the harmony in your universe, it's the form of flowing balanced energy, so you combine the two, that's holographic kinetics, you know, right?
Yeah, and it's an unlimited understanding of quantum energy, which manifests changes in time and space. So, because nothing is solid.
Yeah. And see, everything is hyperspace too. Like, even, like, I know you were touching on in our buddy James Bartley's interview, which if you go on the Cosmic Switchboard, everybody, cosmicswitchboard.com, you could see a whole, go on Laura Leone. She has her own page on the Cosmic Switchboard. You can see her interview there. And she talks about how in hyperspace, all relationships are hyperspace, basically, too. And you, there's almost like there's a hyperspace police that mess with people's lives and you know, get into their past lives and they interrogate people and they fix relationships to create, you know, love bites that we've had my friend Eva Lorgan on before, so we've heard about that. And are you aware of like these hyperspace wars that are going on? And have you been a victim basically to some of this?
Yeah, I'm absolutely aware of it, and that's what I was talking about. How all of these forces are basically teaming against one another over the resources and the most precious resource of the universe of this is which is us.
Yeah,
and these hyper wars that are happening—they're super, super ancient, aeonic. These are aeonic wars over us, and they're including all of the different cycles of our this life's planet life cycles. Which, you know, many people think that it's only one cycle that we've been here, but it isn't. It's many cycles, and these hyper wars have been going on and on and on and on, and they each want us. Now, some of them are going to pretend like they're, you know, helping us and they really want us to survive and they don't want us to be harmed. But in reality, each of them are coming from their own agenda. And
like Anki.
Anki, Ia, right? Like, Ia is, that's a whole, that's a phenomenal topic to talk about.
Yeah, like a trickster. He's like
trickster,
Lucifer, or whatever you want to call him, you know.
Yeah, well, and you know, that brings us to the winged serpents, the seraphims. It brings us to the whole ideology of that has happened in mind controlling us about the reptilians and the serpents and and the winged beings and the guardians in origin.
We should have you back on. I do one week out of the month. I do a Fallen Angel Friday. It's usually the last
week. Oh, love it.
And we talk about Seraphim, the, you know, reptilians, the Watchers, all that. We get into it. I usually had Misaki on for it, but we got to have you back on for one of those in the days. That would be great.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite topics. And, you know, I have been visited by quite a few of different types of these beings that are all, in one way or another, you know, the different guardians.
Seeds of the, like, yeah, but are you talking about maybe they might even be like Anunnaki, like seeds of the serpent?
Oh, yes. I've had them too. So, and in fact, yeah, this is like a whole different topic, but I was introduced to the Hyperwars by a sect of them who told me the origin of the battle between them and their brother, and this was a serpentine race. So, and this is how I learned about it at first. Yeah, exactly. And I learned about this at first when I was 11 because of them coming to me. And they continued to visit with me, and they are the ones that told me about all of this. So that's how I originally even discovered it or even knew it was there. The first time I saw a reptilian, and they're different. They're all different. And a lot of people don't make distinctions between them all, but was when I was 9, and you know, throughout history, a lot of the historical depictions of them have always have been the devil, right? The dragon, the devil,
the serpent. You know, like the amphibious one, even right. Poseidon with the trident, he's amphibious. Right. You know, all of them. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's a fascinating one of my favorite topics is this whole origin and the fall and the guardians and the Anunnaki, the Grigori, and or Gregori.
Yeah, that's where I've dealt with my whole life.
Angelology. You know, the hiding of the angelology by the Vatican, actually, which was originally hidden by prior to the Crusades. So the Templars were involved in hiding angelology, the lineages that were created to guard the knowledge of the angelics and the fallen.
My Strega lineage, that's, you know, when I had my near-death experience as a child, that's the Grigori, which they had me, like, you know, it was a whole experience.
I'd love to hear about that.
It's in my interview on the Cosmic Switchboard and James Barr. It's in there. I was in like some tube suspended, but we'll talk to you. This is about you.
Yeah, but these Hyperwars, they involve all of these people. They involve all of these players, all of these deities, the demiurges, you know, the serpents versus the dragon versus the lions. I mean, we're talking about such an immense impact on the entire planet and every single soul on Earth, because the resource thereafter is the soul of humanity, by one.
And I agree with you. And do you think that they're like master genetic manipulators, that they've, you know, they're the ones that have...
They're the best. They're the best, hands down. You know, I mean, they've had time to become proficient in this density with their technology. And here's the difference. They have that technology, which is also related to the artificial technology and the occult technology combined. But we as human beings who have pure spirit source have what I call spirit technology. We can manifest anything we think. See, we have the ability... Yeah, we have the ability that is endless and unlimited, and we don't need to build something in order to procure it like they do. They have limitations with what they can do because, you know, you have to look at their origin and where they went wrong and how they felt themselves, because originally they were supposed to be themselves guardians.
But, yeah, and they're into that domination, you know, conquering, and I think that they were, you know, maybe even from somewhere in the Orion constellation, and they might have even been the ones that tricked Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments so they can establish an elite class, something to serve, something to worship.
I've, believe that is true. I believe that it was exactly, that was the God he was serving, and that was the God that was coming to him, which wasn't a God at all.
Yeah.
And I do agree with you that, interestingly, which, you know, if you look at that, then we really should talk about the lineages and the royal lineages and what is going on between the 12 tribes, between all of the,
yeah.
the lineages in connection to Lyria, Orion, the dragon, the serpent, because that is also, all of that has to do with the hyper wars that are going on.
Yeah. And I could do 1,000 shows with you. I could just talk about endless, man. This is like, yeah, we have to do like a series. I always, yeah, there's so much because we only have 10 minutes left.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. And we're looking at the time going, wow, there's just so much to go on now. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, but yeah. That's the best thing, though. We leave them wanting more, Laura.
Yeah.
Leave them wanting more.
Yeah, so there is definitely a lot to talk about.
This is like the great experiment planet, you know, and I think, do you think that this Draco force, even though there are different kinds, do you think that they are the ones that are helping alter the timeline, or do you think it has something to do with CERN, or do you think it's a combination of the two? Because I feel like there's a dimensional shift that's been happening.
Yeah, definitely.
Mandela effect, you know, and for people that don't even know, if you want to explain what that actually
absolutely.
Mandela effect means, because it's as in Mandela, like Nelson Mandela, you know.
Yeah. So that is another huge topic which should really be looked into deeply, because the Mandela effect, and I recall many things with regards to the Mandela effect because I was very conscious of being utilized in different timelines since I was young. Now, Mandela was said to have died in his cell. And yeah. I remember that clearly. Absolutely yeah. remember that. And I remember knowing that it was very significant. It was worldwide. There was a worldwide significance on multiple levels. And the next thing I realized, he's alive. So
yeah, it's weird.
A complete time shift happened. And what happened to me at that time was that my lifetime shifted, and everybody that I was around had a different memory of my life than I did. So I knew, and I was cognizant that they were manipulating the timelines. And I know in the 80s, they were really playing with these holes. They were like creating gaps in time and space, or tears. That's what I call them, because they didn't have the technology correct.
Yeah.
So.
Should we call this the Aboriginal timeline?
Well, that would be not the Aboriginal timeline, because that would be the original timeline. This is a synthetic timeline.
This is an offshoot.
An offshoot of it, that's right. So the Mandela effect, in essence, is like a ricochet effect, if you will, of all of these experiments gone awry in them trying to attempt to control time. So what you have are two different versions of reality bleeding into themselves. And, you know, people will recall and absolutely remember that the timeline was completely different than the current one. You know, right down to small things like, you know, Kit Kat or the label of it, right down to just
you know
the minor.
I noticed the Coca-Cola, right? The
yes.
dash in the middle is at a different spot.
Exactly.
In between the Coca-Cola. I was like, that was never like that.
That's
they never
right.
changed the can.
That's right. And then you look into the origin of the Draco and this whole, their manipulation, their technology with time. And you go to ancient Egypt and you have this thing called a hidden Osiris temple inside the actual younger version of the Osirian temple, where these depictions have been discovered, where there's a device that they call the Osirian device, which has to do with this technology that CERN is utilizing or trying to utilize, because it's essentially a device to open portals. It's a Stargate device. And they're utilizing people with this technology because they realize, and they knew, back then that people, us, those with source spirit, are the ones that we are the Stargates. So back then, in ancient Egypt, they had a device that they were utilizing to try and hook in the power source of the human to Stargate, to jump, essentially. So all of this
papyrus like that too. Yeah, you could see it. It's like, it's so obvious what they're describing too. I don't know how people don't.
Yeah, well, CERN knows all about this, and this is this is the information that really isn't coming out about what CERN and the technology is, because they're linking it to Shiva. Well, Shiva's only one aspect of it, and that ancient aspect is also related to the device, which is in relation to the Osirian device. It's the same portal Stargate technology device that are utilizing humans as meridians for the energizing the machine, fueling it to open. You know,
and it's crazy. They got Shiva doing the cosmic dance right outside the CERN headquarters. Like, wow.
Right, exactly. So, you know, they're putting it out there in your face, yet everybody, you know, for the most part, isn't really cluing into the gravity of what this is. And the fact that they're using symbols and sigils that are from the very beginning and origin of this story and experiment.
And I feel like these symbols are awakening stuff in our DNA as well.
Absolutely. Like,
you know, yeah, for sure.
And not only that, but through their hyper-dimensional interference of what they're doing to the human physiology with their technology, they're actually putting sigils in our DNA.
Wow.
So... And this is a part of, this is a whole different topic too, right? That is just, wow. So
I mean, this whole earth is teeming with spirits and all types. Even there's plant spirits, you know, as a child, I even had evoked one as a child. And I remember it had like, it looked like a humanoid insect type, looking thing. And it had a name, you know, it was very creepy. It was a spirit of the plant.
Yeah, exactly. That's profound. I think it's wonderful you had that experience, because you realize that everything is connected to a spirit and a real entity being, you know, and they may not have a body physically like we do in this 3D density, but they have a body that's just as much a body in their density. So, you know, it's the veil thing, but these technologies that are utilizing humans humans is such, it's not the right term. Because, you know, there are different types of beings, and they have spirit source is also a different topic, and how, you know, the with relation to the origin of the person determines also what kind of spirit source that they're carrying. But these machines and these ancient technologies that are once again being revived to open up a bit the abyss, right? They're being utilized to open up huge stargates in association with these huge lower realms that go back to the Naga again, right? That go back to all of that.
You got to listen to my interview that James did of me. I talk about all that stuff. You know, I had this vision of the Well of Sheshna when I was a kid, and I didn't realize it was the well until later on in life.
And
I think that's what Jack Parsons and you know, Aleister Crowley and L. Ron Hubbard, I think they opened one of those, you know, portals that you're talking about that they couldn't close, and there's some activity, you know, still happening from that, you know, and I don't understand what they were trying to accomplish, but that's a whole nother story in itself too.
Yeah, and I think that
because Aleister Crowley was kicked out of Italy too when he went, he was trying to, you know, evoke the horn god and doing sexual rituals, and kids were being disappearing and all types of stuff.
Yeah, which is what Hitler was also involved in with regards to opening specific type of portals. And these are energies that are in relation to Kokuthu, who is an origin, a monster type of entity being that is larger than Jupiter. It's larger than, you know, many of these
planets.
And, you know, they are, in essence, operating on their behalf. So you have to ask yourself, if people are doing this and they're consciously wanting to open these dark world antiverse portals, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about a person, or are we talking about something that looks like a person but is carrying an entirely different type of spirit inside them that is not of source? Because, you know, source beings typically have a consciousness and a compass. They have the knowing inside that says, this is not a good thing, this is bad. But these people are not doing that. So, yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and we're here with Laura Leone. It's been a beautiful episode. We're going to have her back on. We possibly may even do a series because there's so much. She's such an enlightened human and traveling the hyperspace and helping heal you all. Go to her website, SOVEREIGNKI.com. And I'm at the mysticalspiral.com. And you have a wonderful, blessed evening. And thank you for listening. And thank you for showing up for another week. Spiral out.